You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, the Titusville and the Beaches, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Vieira, 94.7 FM, and W264AS, Melbourne and Palm Bay, 100.7 FM.
Hello, Space and Treasure Coast. This is Sita Begee on AM 1510 WWBC. This show is called Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And I'm here this morning. We're also on FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We're also heard live on the web. All you have to do is hit the on-demand app and hit Listen Live. That's correct, right? Yes. I got it. My good friend Alberta Wilson is here this morning with me. She's co-hosting and she's also going to be joining in a conversation for the first and second part of the show. Welcome to the show, Alberta.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
It's my honor and my privilege to have you on the show.
Bless you.
The more I read about you and your wonderful sons, the more I respect you and I hope and pray that people listen to you when you give them the guidance that they need.
I want you to know the respect is mutual, my friend.
Thank you. So for those of our friends who are tuning into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, I also have a friend that everybody knows. I like my social media, my Facebook. And I was watching CNN a few, I think it was last year, and I saw this really awesome activist, Ryan McClinton in Sacramento, California, who was lending his voice, because he chooses to do this, to speak about all lives that matter. And he was talking about one of the cases there in California where a young man, Stephen Clark, was shot in the backyard of his grandmother. I think you remember that case, Alberta.
Oh, yes, I do.
Yeah, and so I reached out to him, and I think if all goes well, knowing that California, that the time difference, he said he'll try to call in. So we'll be talking to him in a bit. But before he calls in, Alberta, you know, I wanted to start today's show with something that's so important in my life, in the lives of my sisters and brothers, my friends, my family. And this is called the emotion anger. Some people have made anger a career. It is what they believe in night and day. And they are so angry all the time with other people, whether it's their religion, it's their race, it's their class, whatever it is, anger seems to be their profession.
And it's sad because they never, ever part with it.
Right.
We all have these emotions, but to go there and stay there, that is sad. It's crippling.
It is, and it destroys marriages. It destroys people's career at the workplace. It destroys relationships with families. And what I've noticed is if you could just get to that spot where you say, I'm going to disperse this anger, and then I'm going to bring it back to me with love and kindness and commitment.
And positivity.
Right. So what is it about so many people that cannot say, I am sorry? Those three beautiful words, I am so, leave out the so, just says, I am sorry.
Yet it's one of the most difficult thing for mankind to admit to.
Yeah, because in the playground, if the children are playing and someone pushes the other one, the parents rise up and say, go to that person and say, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. So when we become adults, this human form, this temple that we're all housed in, our hearts and our minds and our spirit and our soul, we're not too big to say, I'm sorry.
Between that time in the playground in adulthood, I wonder what happened.
Yeah.
You know, why would we?
Because we become, it's like, I remember, you know, we're not born with hate and racism and divisiveness when we come out of our mother's womb, whether we're pushed out with a lot of pain or they take you out with a C-section, right? But once people realize the color of the skin, or the color of money, or the color of I am better than you, something happens to human beings.
Something happens. And it's going to take people, good Christian people, people in general, good people in general, to change that.
Right.
It's not going to change by itself.
And I've always said the only way we could change other people is to change ourselves.
Exactly.
If we change our behavior on earth, we can change everything else around us.
It must start
with us. Right. So, I mean, before Ryan calls in, let's talk about some of the behaviors that human beings exhibit that we could say you could change that behavior through education, life experience, and the environment in which you live. That's
exactly.
That's like the most important things, right?
Because you don't have to go anywhere. You can stay right in your small little world and change behaviors.
And we wonder often, why is it, you know, you will talk to people about, let's bring up a topic like what's happening to the migrant kids right now. And I was speaking with someone about that, and the person who is an immigrant got me very upset and said, well, they shouldn't be coming. And I said, well, let me tell you something. It took me 17 years to bring my sister to the United States legally. 17 long years. That's for a sister filing for a sister. I said, a lot of these people who are coming would love to have a sponsor. Mm-hmm. But my mom used to say that nobody flees a good marriage, a good neighborhood, a good job, or a good nation. Why are the people fleeing? I think that's the bigger issue.
The bigger issue, and no one wants to even deal with that.
And you wonder why, right? You wonder why they don't want to deal with that. Yeah. Because the migrant kids, their lives matter just like everybody else.
That's why I love the idea that Ryan is going to be on later.
Yeah.
So we could get some of that in about all lives matter.
Yeah, and he's on the phone. Okay, so the thing is, so before we go to Ryan McClinton, who's calling in, we want to tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, our show is fun, it's unscripted, very educational, and we give out very valuable information. But Alberta and I will be attending a rally later for the children who are held in these inhumane conditions. And the rally is in Cape Canaveral, correct?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
And so we'll give out the information for that later. But before we do that, we want to tell our listeners again that on the phone, calling in from Sacramento, California, I don't know if I woke him up early or not, is our good friend Ryan McClinton. He's a community organizer in Sacramento, and I met him through watching him on CNN and watching all the wonderful things that he's decided to use his voice. It's his choice to make a difference in the lives of the people in his community and all over the United States. So, Ryan, welcome to our show, and thank you for calling in.
Yeah, Sita, thank you very much for having me on as a guest. I really appreciate it and really want to celebrate a lot of the great work and voices that you're bringing to your platform and exposing the work that's happening in different areas of our country that is necessary, especially in times like these.
Well, we thank you for what you do as well. You inspire
exactly.
So many of us. And I was telling my good friend Alberta Wilson about you. And Alberta herself is quite a dynamic human being here in our town, doing so much works with the NAACP. And she's been awarded several awards here in our town. And she's an activist and so many things. So I want you to tell our listeners a little bit about how you got involved in being such an amazing activist.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Can you guys hear me okay, too? I'm on my headphones.
Yes. So we're hearing you wonderful, loud and clear right here on WWBC. And tell your friends they could tune in online as well.
Absolutely. I definitely will. Definitely will. So I'm actually native here in Sacramento, California. Grew up here my entire life. And always been connected to community fabrics in a number of ways. My mom and my dad have always been very active and known throughout the community through a number of lenses, just, you know, making friends and helping out where they can with their different businesses-wise. But for me, really getting into community organizing and activism really started from a desire to help out educating folks on our ability to own our own businesses and be a different type of resource than what we typically assign ourselves. And that was really fueled by a desire to be a business consultant to really help change some of the the gaps that we have from our education to workforce development to healthcare and what have you, that so many of our folks have been trained, developed, and prepared really to provide services for bigger entities, yet they don't see that value in themselves and how to resource one another. So through that process of doing workshops and with a couple of friends of mine who also had a similar vision, but around their business goals and whatnot, I really got tapped into a lot of spaces where community was kind of coming together on these key issues. And a very dear and near friend of mine, she's really like a sister to me now, Danielle Williams, got connected with me through another mutual friend, and she was a community organizer with Sacramento ACT, the faith-based organizing entity that I work for now. And we sat down and probably talked for about 2.5 hours just on the realities of what it looks like for criminal justice in our city, where a lot of the gaps have been existing, a lot of oppression's been at, and really kind of just activated me from that point, throw me into a couple meetings where we were addressing at that time a horrible death that occurred at the hands of Sacramento PD of Joseph Mann, who was a mentally ill patient, mentally ill community member that had a crisis episode and was unfortunately killed by two of SAC PD's officers who pursued him, trying to run him down with the car, and eventually shooting him down on in El Paso Heights. So that was really a moment where I was able to kind of dive in knee-deep with other community stakeholders across the city and really addressing this injustice and saying that we needed accountability and we needed transparency here in Sacramento, because unfortunately Michael Brown, Eric Gardner, Tamira Rice happens here in Sacramento too, and it's been going on for a while, but a lot of people weren't really woke up to it. So that was really the last point.
And the thing is, Ryan, you know, for us, we're here in Florida. Of course, we have our share right here with Trayvon Martin and yes, what happened to him, and these things are becoming so common. It's like, are people actually putting value on all lives? Because people say Black Lives Matter, all lives matter. Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is, once we're here on this earth, we all count. We are all here for a reason. Why do you think this is becoming so common? And it's like day after day, people just turn their heads the other way because something else is going to happen. They've become immune to it.
Well, I think the reality is that it's been happening. It's just that there wasn't attention given to it. And, you know, with the era of having cameras and folks being willing to speak up, say
That's
something,
right.
report something, it's been brought a lot more apparent. And, you know, it's and one thing I got to mention, in salute to our brothers and sisters with Black Lives Matter on the national movement, locally, and some of the stuff that's been unpacking-wise, the real need of a Black Lives Matter is the fact that we have to say it, because it's not that other lives don't matter, it's that if we don't say it, they don't matter for folks.
Exactly.
It doesn't become real that there's a less of a value on Black lives than there are others. Recently, we actually had a fatal incident that was, again, tragic, where one of the SAC PD officers was killed on a response to a call. And everybody across the community felt the pain of that officer losing their lives. And one of the things that some of our leaders locally, one of our youth leaders, and actually grown adult, but she's Talechia Elheria, brought up, she posted something that was very eloquent in her response, as she's been one of many leaders that have been working on meeting with SAC PD to figure out how do we bridge this gap of distrust. And while everybody recognized that this life needed to be honored, the way that it went about really showed a stark contrast to how lives are valued in Sacramento. Every freeway entrance throughout Sacramento was shut down for a processional. That took about an hour or so on the highways to honor this fallen officer's life, Carol Sullivan, which, you know, rest in peace. To the departed, yet there was such a visceral reaction when community members took the streets in the same fashion to lift up the life of Stephon Clark.
Yes, we were talking about that earlier. What, that was tragic, just tragic, running in his grandmother's backyard, and he thought he had a gun when he had a cell phone.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I know Alberta has a couple of questions she wants to ask you,
sure,
as well. So go ahead, Albert.
Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you. How are you doing, Albert?
Wonderful.
Pleasure to meet you.
Wonderful. And listen, thank you for being one of these people that are speaking up. And not only just speaking up, one of these people that are in the trenches trying to make a difference in our communities. I appreciate that. A little over a year ago, when you were talking about All Lives Matter, I had the opportunity here in Brevard County in Melbourne, Florida, to speak before an organization called SHINE. It's all caps, it's seniors. I can't remember the acronym. But they called me and asked me to come out and speak to them because they had a mixed group wanting to hear somebody locally talk about why all of a sudden Black Lives Matter and no other life matters. And I said, what? That is not true. The reason for the emphasis being put on Black Lives Matter is because we have to say, hey, our lives matter too. That in no way saying that all lives does not matter, because it does. Anyway, as it turned out, I thought I was going to be walking into a hostile environment, but it didn't matter. I was going to go anyway. As it turned out, it was a wonderful exchange, and I'm happy to say that. So thank you for everything you do. And I got to tell you, until Black Lives Matter emerged, attention was given to Black lives being taken across this country. Little attention.
Absolutely.
So thank you for all you do. And I got to tell you that, like Cedar, yourself, and others across this country, Stephon Clark's senseless murder ripped to the very core of my being. And we have got to continue to be vocal, and got to we have to be vocal, but we also have to be embrace, bring everybody into the fold.
For change. Yeah. So Ryan, we were saying just before you got on that one of the things that we're noticing that causes a lot of tragedies, not just in personal lives or professional lives or what's going on all over the country, is people are so fearful and angry. What can all of us do collectively to help our brothers and sisters all over the world, not just in America, but all over, to stop this hate and anger? Because under this skin, the color of our skin, we're all the same. What is causing this fear and anger and disrespect? And of course, when we don't trust each other, the end result is gun violence and violence all over the place.
Yeah, I want to say thank you very much, Albert, and honestly, what she's doing is literally one part of that solution, right? And I appreciate you for standing courageously in that space and speaking truth to power, whether it's comfortable or uncomfortable, right? Because that's something that this country, that's where we're at right now as a country. There's a lot of uncomfortable conversations that folks, a lot of folks aren't willing to have, but we have to be willing to stand up and have those conversations to address a lot of the fear and the anger that's created. A lack of seeing one another as a complete human being and humanity really are huge contributing factors to where you see the violence that comes up with folks, populates the way that it does, because we're not acknowledging who a person is, where they're at, where they come from, and what their reality is versus just what my existence is. One of the things that I kind of lift up in the conversation about, you know, the Black Lives Matter movement is really that a lot of people don't connect with it, or any problem for that matter, until it affects them directly.
Exactly.
So similarly to the loss of, you know, Stephon Clark here in Sacramento, that wasn't the only loss that we had. We had a young man by the name of Darryl Richards who was killed a few months after by SAC PD in a backyard, ironically, having a mental health crisis. A few months after that, a man by the name of Brandon Smith lost his life in police custody. Not long after that, Marshall Miles lost his life. And these are all here in Sacramento, and it continues to happen everywhere else. But the biggest the biggest thing that I see is that from community members to community members, we're not having enough dialogue and really having those tough conversations. I think there's a culture shift that has to happen with law enforcement, where accountability is clearly part of the culture.
Right, and it's not enough. It's not enough to say I have a black friend, or I live in a neighborhood with mixed. It's not enough. I think everybody have to look in the mirror at themselves and ask themselves, what can I do to make a difference? Because people are not having that tough conversation in their homes, with their family members, in their churches. It's got to start, I think, everything starts in the home, right? The foundation for everything starts in the home. Mm-hmm. But until Black Lives Matter came along, people were not asking themselves, why does the life matter? Well, because they're human. That's why.
Well, why are we talking about this now? Why shouldn't we? We should have been talking about Black Lives Matter a long time ago.
That,
but that in no way mean that all lives do not matter. It's just that, and I think you said it initially when you came on, we did not or do not have to shed light or emphasize on the other lives, because until Black Lives Matter came along, our lives were the only lives that weren't valued, in my opinion.
Right.
Absolutely.
Ryan,
stories of missed children.
So one of the things that that Alberta and myself and a whole bunch of us here in town do as activists, we focus a lot on public education, and Alberta is a champion of that. So your organization is called ACT, correct? So what is it called, the one you work with again?
Yeah, Sacramento ACT, which stands for Area Congregations Together.
Right. So tell us, I mean, we all know education and awareness and life experience, no pun intended, but it trumps everything else. Well, how can we get more people to understand the way forward, no matter what way you come from, this is what it is. Fix our communities, put time and energy and effort into where people live, regardless, you know, of their zip code. How can we get more people to spread that message that all zip codes matter, all areas in the country matter, all communities matter? Like you said, opening a business, teaching someone how to get a loan, become somebody. How do we get more people involved in what you're doing?
That's a great question. And honestly, it starts literally with building relationships with organizations and the people around you. We work with a lot of congregations from different faiths. We're interfaith based organizations, so from Islam to Christianity to Buddhism to across the spectrum. We have a chance to work with clergy leaders and their congregation bases. But we actually do deep community education on policies, on disparities that are happening within our community, within their neighborhoods, and then also partnering with community-based organizations, CBOs, to really have a conversation around, okay, what are the gaps? Where aren't we actually touching our people, and how can we dive in deeper? And as an advocacy group, we have a chance to really strategize with one another, building strong coalitions as we continue to build relationships with one another, showing up for other events, sharing community spaces, bringing in the expertise of a particular group that touches the population that's often unseen or unheard. Our Black women in Sacramento are amazing leaders, and they do so much work on a political landscape and a community development landscape that we plug in with every single sector that we can, from business owners to our different demographics of white folks, API, Latinos, Latinx, what have you. And really kind of investing that time to create spaces, number one, to actually meet and have harder, deeper dialogues around what the reality is, but then setting a plan forward that we can actively take part in, be that through civic engagement of voting and whatnot practices, to showing up to your city council and commission meetings, to your board of supervisors at the county level or whatever that structure looks like in your area, but really taking an active role to actually stand up with others and say that we have the solutions that we need right here. We just have to sit down and build a relationship so we can flush those out.
Yeah, we've always said it's about trust, respect, and building those relationships. Because a lot of people would say, well, you know, I was born and raised in Trinidad and Tobago, and my background is Indian. Ooh. And I remember my grandparents will sit down with us and teach us about life, about building home, about having a home, planting, getting an education, about children, how valuable it is to put value on the child that you're going to bring into this planet and who's going to take care of it. And I think you're right. When you start mixing with other cultures and other people, some of these things you can share with each other, because not everyone have a grandmother or a grandfather or somebody at home to guide them and teach them. And Alberta and I talk about this all the time. It ties into everything that we stand for when we talk about civil rights, voting rights, criminal justice system, accountability with our lives and those we elect to office. Everything ties in together, because at the end of the day, what does people want? Everybody wants an opportunity. They want to be loved and they want to be appreciated. Correct?
And that's a fact. That's all.
That, like Alberta said, that's all. So what are some of the things we can expect from you that you're working on later on? Because I know Alberta would like to find you on Facebook and send you a friend request, because here in Florida, she's always looking for good speakers at events that we have. Give us your website so we can look you up, or some contact information, and tell us what we can expect from you in the future.
Yes, you can definitely find me on Facebook at Ryan McClinton, R-Y-A-N, last name McClinton, M-C-C-L-I-N-T-O-N. You can also find us on our website, SACACT.org. That's S-A-C-A-C-T.org, where we'll have a lot of updates of things we're currently working on, as well as our Facebook page for SACACT as well, Sacramento Area Congregation Together. Right now, we're really driving home a big piece of legislation statewide, the use of deadly force bill, AB 392, where it'll be the largest reform in police accountability in the state of California since 1870. We're currently pushing for some housing reforms here in Sacramento as well, and really even looking at how are we addressing our district attorney and education, public education around the roles and the powers of the district attorney. But also our criminal justice system as a whole. One of the other things I want to lift up, too, is because we're attached to two larger federations, PICO California, as well as Faith in Action National, which Faith in Action National does have an arm in Florida. I know that they do a lot of work in St. Petersburg, Florida, and helped with the DA races that just happened last year there. But that we basically have a network of folks everywhere throughout the state, or throughout the states, where we're looking at how do we kind of come together, organize powerful coalitions that really build on what our local issues are. And it really does start from a local organizing lens. When you bring the voices of those who are most marginalized to the surface, because we believe that those closest to the pain hold the best solutions for change, that we then are really empowering our communities to advocate for themselves so they're not left in the margins anymore, and that they understand what the civic engagement process looks like and how to bring resources to themselves.
I think you're saying two words that Alberta loves to stay engaged. She always says, stay engaged in your community.
We have to stay engaged.
Yeah. So Ryan, where do you find your leadership roles as your team is strong? And where what sort of development do you see you guys needing in the future? Because you're doing everything that we want to do. But tell us, what is your strongest points for in your leadership team that you've got?
I really think it's in the relationship and leadership development aspect of it. Bringing someone side by side with you and really seeing what they are and where their story is and unpacking that with them to recognize that you have a voice and you have agency as well. So a lot of our leaders, and the majority of our leaders are all volunteers. And it's really a testament to them living into their passions and what they see the needs of the community are. But through that process, we'll do trainings on power mapping, civic engagement, leadership development, how to actually run a meeting and facilitate a meeting. How to put together a work plan for a strategy going forward, how to do a research meeting and meet with those who are stakeholders on a particular issue, and really flushing out the information, but also arming them with the tools to be able to advocate stronger in the areas that they need. And, you know, that comes with public speaking, press conferences, all the stuff that comes out on the visual side, but the behind-the-scenes work of staying engaged. Again, going to not just your board of supervisors or your city council meeting, but a commission meeting. If you have issues about how the city's being developed, a lot of times a lot of people don't realize your planning commission has a lot to do with that.
Yeah, we're trying our best to get more people to attend those meetings right here in Brevard County, Florida. Sometimes you go to these meetings and there's 10 people, and it's like you can't get involved in other people's business. Fix your own business first. That's involved, right. Vote, run for office, get engaged, listen and learn. But really quick before we go off air, I think we have another minute or two. You just won an award. You won a magazine as well. I noticed that. Tell us a little bit about that. I mean, I'm so amazed. And
you got to share that with me.
Yeah, and we're very grateful to have a friend like you. I read it, and I read what the nice things you said about women. You call them the queen in high heels.
Oh, wow.
I love it.
Oh, yes.
So what was that?
Major shout out to
tell us about that. Go ahead. Tell us about that spread in the magazine.
Yeah, major shout out to SAC Cultural Hub and Plachette Roberts, who's just been doing amazing, amazing work lifting up the stories of folks here locally and what's been going on. Honored as one of, I think it's 15 to 20 men on as Black Men in Leadership. Definitely a humbling and honored experience to be kind of recognized for some of the work that's going on. And there's so many other brothers out here doing, you know, amazing work too, but to have that spread kind of lifted up for work that's been going on over the past couple of years, really, truly just hit my heart in a special way, because
you're doing something
it's for a community that I do.
Yeah. Well,
thank you.
Alberta and I just attended a dinner in town, and one of the pastors, Pastor Oliver Wells, he said the theme of the dinner was, our lives begin to end the day we keep silent about things that matters. And you are that person. You're in our heart and in our mind, and we appreciate everything you're doing for humanity and trying to help everybody out there. And I hope you can call us back another time, too, maybe during the year. We'd love to have you, and thank you for calling in on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. I will post your stuff on our website, and Alberta is going to send you a friend request.
That's right. And we'll keep in touch.
I'm looking forward to it.
And we'll be reaching out to you. Thank you.
Yeah.
All right. That was nice. Isn't he wonderful?
What a nice
portions of Viewpoint
guy.
With Sita and Friends is sponsored by the friends and family of Sita Begee, author of 18 Brothers and Sisters, and founder of Simply Sita Skincare, and these great sponsors. Portions of Sita and Friends is brought to you by Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store inside the Merritt Square Mall at the Sears Wing. Save big on furniture working with a flexible family-owned store with all the brands you love, from Ashley, Serta, Coaster, and so and more. Brand new, warranties as well. And delivery and haul away available at a fraction of the cost of most stores, and delivered in 7 to 10 days. Free, no credit checking and financing, and free interior design. The owner, Scott Palmer, has been in the mattress and furniture business for over 30 years, and Cloud9 has been serving Central Florida for 7 years now. Cloud9 Mattress and Furniture Store, available at 321-459-2473. Again, call them 321-459-2473 or visit them on the web at cloud9furniture.com. Jotkoff Financial Group is a certified public accounting and a registered investment advisory firm with over 30 years of productive relationships with clients. Jotkoff Financial Group can assist you in meeting your accounting, tax, and business consulting and financial planning and insurance needs without expanding your internal workforce. With 3 locations here in Florida, here in Brevard County, Broward County, and Nassau County, contact Jotkoff Financial Group here in Brevard at 321-984-7345, located at 1122 South Wickham Road in Melbourne. That's Jotkoff Financial Group. On the web, you'll find them at www.jotkoff.com. Call the professionals at Jotkoff Financial Group today.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here on WWBC AM 1510, FM 94.7, FM 99.9, and FM 100.7. We're also heard online all over the world. Just Google WWBC and hit the on-demand app, and you'll see a button that says live, listen live. And Ellen did tell me we're getting a lot of downloads. A lot of people are downloading the show because they're unable to listen because they're working. We want people to work, right? The dignity of work.
That's right.
The most beautiful thing.
Yes.
So on my second half, I am going to be talking with my good friend, Alberta Wilson. And Alberta, you know, I know you because you're my friend, and I respect you, and I trust you, and I just love everything about you. And then I said, she received the Civil Rights Award from the state of Florida for her work in education. You also served as the Rolling Readers Volunteers at Endeavor Elementary School.
Endeavor, yes.
Endeavor.
Mm-hmm.
Served on the State Board of Community Colleges for 4 years and in Brevard County College Board of Trustees. Raised funds to send several local high school students who weren't able to see President Barack Obama, which you and I were delegates for him as well. We had a lot of fun, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
We met Joanne Reed. And you and I are also part of the League of Women Voters. I mean, we do a lot of stuff.
We have a lot in common.
We do. But before we start talking about all the stuff that we try to do, I just want to tell our listeners that the good people at the Democratic Women's Club of Palm Bay are having a fundraiser, and they asked me to do a public service announcement. It's called the Mary Lou Robinson Scholarship Luncheon and Fashion Show. The event is going to be held Saturday, July 17th, 2019 at the Melbourne Hilton Rialto. And if anyone is interested, they can call Dorothea White at 832-315-1972.
It's July the 27th, right?
July 27th.
Yes.
And it's a luncheon.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's a luncheon and fashion show, the Mary Lou Scholarship, and it's put on by the Palm Bay Democratic Women's Club. And if you're interested, just call our good friend Dorothea White at 832-315-1972. And the event is from 1 to 4. I would think that anybody who have a couple of bucks to spare can attend this event, because the money is going to charity.
It is open to the public, yes.
Right, and it's going to charity for the children, mm-hmm. for scholarships and things. And I spoke to Dorothea. They're excited for us to share this information. I'll share it again next week. And I will be attending. I just bought two tickets, and I figured I'll check it out. And tonight, where's the event tonight? Do you know for the rally we're having tonight?
It's on Cape Canaveral.
We will find out where it is, because a lot of our friends are going. And all of us want to protest peacefully.
Oh, yes, it's
and,
the light.
And it's good. It's at 8600 Astronaut Boulevard in Cape Canaveral. And we are going to be the voices for the children and families who are housed in the immigration center in Homestead. And we want to lend our voice to these children who don't have a voice of their own. I suppose what they're saying is comprehensive health services. Their headquarters is in Cape Canaveral, and they manage this immigrant detention center in Homestead, Florida. A lot of people, Alberta, are making money off housing these children.
Oh, yes.
$775 a day. And for all, I've spoken with so many people, and they say, well, we don't want people to come here. Well, nobody wants illegal immigration, but there's something called asylum.
Yes.
Let the people apply for the asylum, and if they don't meet the criteria, don't treat them in a cage like animals.
And that's the way they're being treated.
Yeah.
And it's so sad.
Send them home as a family, intact, mother, father, yes. and children, and take that $775 a day, divided by 1 month that this facility in Cape Canaveral is going to be making. Give it to the people and say, go home and start your life. What do you think?
Exactly.
Why not?
Exactly.
You know?
And that's one of the reasons why they're asking tonight for the community to come out and just show up in support of this initiative. That's 8600 Astronaut Boulevard, and that's in Cape Canaveral.
So, Alberta, why do you think, I mean, we read a lot. I enjoy reading. I think I'm addicted to reading. Why do people flee? You have to ask yourself, why do people flee?
You know, see, the people flee for a multiplicity of reasons. But you know, and I know, no one's going to leave home when everything is well, when all is well, when they feel safe, when they're not dying from starvation and hunger. No one leaves an environment that is safe and embracing. So, you know, they're coming here for all kinds of reasons.
It's like teenagers. Ask a teenager if he's going to leave his parents' house if he's getting food, water, shelter, and bills are paid. He's not going to go.
No.
They don't even want to go to college. They want to come home every weekend, right?
And even if they were to go for a short
brief time,
they're coming back.
That's right. So these immigrant children, they're born. They're here. We have so many people to talk about. They're so concerned about the life of an unborn. Well, guess what? There's a lot of people with hearts beating all over the world that bombs are dropping on their homes. Their fathers and mothers have been blown in pieces in front of them. You have climate change, global warming. You have people who are having violence against their bodies, this
starvation.
Temple of the bodies by men, by human traffickers. Mm-hmm. And they're running away and they're hoping they can come to a place. You know, people talk about the promised land. Do you know what the promised land really is? It's a place where you're safe. Isn't it?
Exactly. A place where you're safe.
Peace and security.
No one can say we live up to that anymore, unfortunately.
So we're going to be attending the rally, and I'm so grateful that they billed it as a peaceful rally. Nobody's going there to fight with anyone. No one is going there to start arguments. We are just saying that we're human beings, all of us on planet Earth at the same time on this earthly journey called life, and we would like to make a difference. That's
exactly. And I'm glad you emphasize peaceful.
Yeah.
Don't bother to come if you're not going to promote peace and harmony.
Right. And what is with some of these people? I read where Rush Limbaugh, one of the one of the radio hosts, says, well, the people can drink the water from a toilet. Well, I was raised in a third world country. We didn't have indoor plumbing. We didn't have running water. And guess what? Even as poor as I was, I respected myself and I had dignity that I wouldn't drink from your toilet. I think that's wrong to say something like that.
Oh, it is wrong.
I'd have it go viral with people listening, you know?
It is wrong.
So let's transition away from that. We were talking on our break about the situation in Brevard with homelessness and hunger and what people right here in our town are facing. And you see a lot of that, Alberta, don't you?
Oh, my gosh. I do. You can't live in Brevard County and not see it. You get in your vehicle to go to the supermarket, and invariably you'll see somebody walking with a shopping cart full of their collectibles, sometimes walking with no shoes or have a sign begging for money for food. It is so heartbreaking. It really is.
I know, and we've had Dr. Miriam Moore with the Brevard Homeless Coalition came on, and we were talking about this issue, and she touched on a topic as well that is near and dear to you and myself. When people are incarcerated and they leave the prison systems, they're leaving that system with nothing on their backs.
With nothing.
So we were saying, how much is it to rent a home or an apartment? It's almost $800-$900 for one bedroom.
Oh, my gosh, for one bedroom. The gentleman just shared with us early. He's in a low-income position. And he pays $1,600 a month. Well, $1,600 a month happened to be a lot of money. Sometimes two-thirds more than a poor homeless person can garner. It's sad. And we who are doing better, we take it for granted. Yet when we see some of these people, we walk by them as if they don't even matter. That's one of the reasons why I want to spend some time, and I ask people to join me. We have got to start addressing housing in this county, housing for the poor. Whether we do that through some form of housing reform, I don't even know where to start, but we must start somewhere.
Yeah, well, you know, it's almost like you get to that point where you're like, okay, we have so much on our plate right now. Mm-hmm. We're fighting Amendment 4 and what happened with the felons who were supposed to be given their rights to vote. Now we're seeing there's an additional layer added to that.
Oh, yeah.
We're fighting gun violence. We're fighting how to get people out to vote. We're fighting how Republicans and Democrats who are labeled are fighting each other. And it's almost like you want to be an activist for everything in the world, but you still have to have a job to fund this hobby that we have. Yep. Thank God for people like you, Alberta, who are retired and are giving back so much. How do we get more young people involved
in all this? That's one of my pet peeves. I hope some young people and not so young people that are listening today will come forward and say, hey, I've got a couple of hours a week. I've got a couple of hours a month even. We'll take it. We have to get involved. Volunteerism is one of the things that you cannot ask enough of people. We don't have enough volunteers to do anything. So that's an area we need to improve in Cedar.
Well, a lot of people say as well, you know, we haven't achieved the changes that we've been struggling for, and they're trying to come up with better methods. Well, guess what? The people who are asking us why we haven't achieved these changes, some of them don't lift a finger to help. But they point. They're so quick to point a finger and say, well, you know, all politicians are crooked, or the environment is dirty, or people need a better wage, or we can't afford. But I don't understand why they just don't say, look it, I have 1 hour per month, or I can give you 30 minutes to teach a child to read. Whatever it is, it's not good enough to use your body, mind, and spirit just to be selfish, I think, for yourself.
Exactly. Everyone can do something. Everybody. This community, our society, this world would be a better place if we all just give a little.
Yeah, and some people have different goals than the others, right? Some people have a goal where they want to see the beach cleaned up, where they want to see the Indian River Lagoon thriving, where they want to see communities are doing better with public education. And speaking about public education, Alberta, this is something that you and I talk about a lot too. What is it about all these politicians that talk about public education, that talk about how they care about all these children and families, but they don't understand in order for a public school to be thriving, you've got to pay your teachers well and fix the communities? How do you fix a community?
You have to fix the community by, first of all, it's a shame what we pay our teachers. It's a shame before God. There has to be some things going on. Politicians, the leaders, have to be looking at ways in which they can increase teachers' salary. It's almost an embarrassment.
Yeah, and to take the money and put it into private school in the form of vouchers is, to me, it's a disgrace.
And, you know, I don't have a problem with private schools being taken care of, but our first responsibility is public education. Whatever happened to that? Public education ought to be the number one priority.
That's all that some children are going to get.
That's all they're going to get.
You know, and you shouldn't compromise on education and healthcare. But here's the thing. People talk about the schools are not functioning. Well, look around the school. Are the communities thriving? Do you have nice trees? Do you have good infrastructure? Do you have businesses investing in the community? And find out why. Don't just point fingers at the people who live in the community and say the people are lazy and they don't want to work. Find out what's happening with those people. I think when you put an show an interest, like Ryan was talking about, get more people involved in the community to vote, to run for office, hold elected officials accountable. Why do you think more people are not thinking that way?
I think it's a cop-out. It's easy to blame others, okay? It's at the end of the day, you will find, if you look closely, it is the folks that are doing the talking that are doing the least to help. Just look at what I'm saying.
Yeah.
The folks that have the loud voices, that are talking, that are criticizing, they are the ones that are doing the least for the community. So we can all start today by doing our part, Cedar.
Yeah. And a lot of them, too, they have children. We lead by example, right? If you put value, if you put value on that child that you bring into the world, you'll put value on the environment on which you wish to raise that child in as well.
Exactly. You'll put value on education.
Because human beings are influenced by their environment a lot.
And that's for sure.
So, Alberta, there's so many issues facing us and concerns. How do you figure out which one is that you want to work on that's the most effective? Which ones are the most important to you as an activist?
You know, there's so many. I mean, when I tell you, it's almost impossible to put your arms around. But I'm big on the youth because that's our future. We have a program that's sponsored by the National Congress of Black Women, the Space Coast chapter, called College for Kids. College for Kids. This is a program we started over at Endeavor some 6 years ago. In fact, we did this after-school mentoring program at Endeavor for 5 years. Last year was our first year at Gulfview Elementary. It's when we bring community people in, people who look much like this diverse group of people. We bring people in to talk to these kids about the fact that, hey, I too was where you now sit. I too was poor. I went on. I'm now an attorney. I'm now a former football player that went to college.
Give them hope. You give them hope.
You give them hope. I am now an elected official. We had Sammy Martin about a month before school closed to show up, and she said, I grew up right here in Rockledge. We've had Alton Edmonds to come and says, I grew up in a single family household. And if I can go on to study hard and become an attorney, you can do the same thing. We had a gentleman from one of the banks to Mr. Blunt to talk about saving, investing. He too grew up in a similar environment. I mean, we go on and on and on. We had a Hispanic lady from, I believe it's Grumman. She's an engineer. What a compelling story she had to tell.
Why do you think people put so many stumbling blocks and barriers in their way? I mean, sometimes they do it to themselves.
Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. Enslavement takes on many forms. Well, you may not see people being lynched anymore, thank God, but there's still certain forms.
The mentality.
The mentality. And we've got to change that. Some is by choice, by people's own individual choices. They cannot get out of that frame of mind. And that's where mentoring programs comes in handy. You got to get people out of that frame of mind. You are equal. You are as good as anyone else.
You
have to put in the work.
I remember once saying to my father, I said, I was concerned because other people had a television and they had a bigger house and they had lighter skin than me and they were richer. And my father said, when you walk, hold your head up high as you can and walk like everybody else with one leg in front of the other. And he said, if you put your hand in your pocket, nobody knows if you have a $100 bill or 5 cents because of the way you walk and carry about yourself. I think he was trying to say, be proud of your existence, of who you are.
And guess what? You can tell the people who are raised up that way. Because I, too, had such parents.
Yes. Yeah, and I think it's important that we tell other people as well, be proud that you're here on earth at this time, and don't let anybody tell you that you're different and you're not good enough. And you know what I noticed too, Alberta, is a lot of self-esteem issues with young ladies.
Oh, there's a lot of self-esteem issues. But like you said, if you're walking around with your hands in your pocket, no one knows what's in your pocket unless you tell them.
Right.
But there's nothing that prevents you from walking straight, holding your head up high. It says two things. It says, number one, I am somebody. And number two, I am proud of who I am. I may not be proud of where I am because I'm still on a mission, but I am proud of who I am.
Right. And, we oftentimes, when we attend our meetings with the League of Women Voters, we're both on the healthcare committee, we talk about education where people attend college or they have a trade or a vocation, and people are so scared to talk about the elephant in the room, sex education. How important it is for you to understand your reproductive right as a man and as a woman, and if you choose to bring a child into this world, why you should put value not just on the child but yourself as well. And people stray away from that topic and they go to abortion and birth control. But the most important thing about that, I think, Alberta, is the value of yourself.
The value of yourself. The value of human beings. And I don't get into the issues of, because those are personal decision making, even though I know where I am. And
yeah, me too. I try to stay away from
reproduction.
Yeah.
I know how I am and personally how I feel. It has to do with how you value yourself and how you value life.
Yeah, because, we all watch the news and we see how other cultures and other people live. But we also see the children that have people in their lives who give them that attention and guidance and mentor them. And of course, they do better in life, I think.
Oh, I believe that.
Right?
I believe that.
So, I mean, I think, you know, when we talk about public education, we talk about public policy, you have to look at not just those things, but you have to look at all the socioeconomic reasons
exactly.
why people thrive.
Exactly.
And a lot of people don't look at that.
Okay.
So now you and I do a lot of, we attend a lot of fundraisers where mm-hmm. our little pocketbook could extend. God knows we don't have a whole lot, but we try to do it. I'm attending the one with the Palm Bay Women's Democratic Club, and I know you're attending one as well.
Oh, yes.
You're planning one, actually.
I'm planning one, actually.
Yeah.
This is the ninth year of the women who make a difference. That's when in Brevard County, the National Congress of Black Women, the Space Coast chapter, honors women every year from across the county who are making a difference.
Mm-hmm.
We already have six people lined up for the 20th of November, God help me, the 20th of July at 1:30 at Coco Holiday Inn. I can't give the names yet because they haven't been notified, but please, July the 20th at 1:30 p.m., come out and help honor these women. And last but not least, I know everybody in the county by now should have gotten the word on the Coco High School chorus that's going to Carnegie Hall in New York. They've been invited to perform there. If you don't know about it, go online and to Coco High's webpage and support this effort.
Two great activities and events, and I also talked about one. Well, thank you for coming on, Alberta, and we thank Ryan McClinton for calling in from Sacramento, California. I'll have you back on again because you're so calm to talk to. I love it. And,
wow.
And also, you know what? I want to tell my listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, if you have to apologize to someone in your life, to me, it's a sign of strength, humility, and confidence. Do it for yourself, do it for your family, do it for whoever is involved in your life, because I'm telling you, life is so short and so sweet. Don't be carrying around that anger.
I agree with you, Cedar.
100%, right? It's you have to.
100%.
Makes you a better person. And so we'll be posting all this on our website. I see Pastor Paul is giving me the heads up. 30 seconds left. Anyone who wants to tune into Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And Albert, if somebody wants to reach you, do you have a website or anybody could just on Facebook, Messenger?
No, they just need to call me, go on Facebook, call you. You know how to reach me.
Give a shout out to your wonderful sons.
I will do that. Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Yes, your son is the principal at Coco High, isn't it?
Yes, my youngest son, Rashad, he's the principal at Coco High. Thank
so
you
all the students at Coco High, Rashad?
Rashad.
Rashad's mother is here. And to all my friends and family, thank you for tuning. Ellen Little, we'll see you next week on the show. Thank you, Paul.
This is the Christian Voice of Brevard on WWBC 1510 AM.
And you're listening to WWBC, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, Merritt Island, FM 94.7. You're listening to WWBC, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne,